Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Toll-free numbers, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. The country is still reeling from the Charleston massacre, from a young, white, racist thug, a domestic terrorist who went into a black church and shot a bunch of people at prayer study. Because he'd been trained by his Al-Qaeda, in this case the White Citizens Council, which is a close cousin of the Ku Klux Klan. That doesn't change the fact that the White Citizens Council has given money to a number of Republican campaigns who are now finally returning that money. He was trained to be a racist killer, and he became a racist killer. In fact, one of the ways he was trained is he simply looked online, he said, following the Trayvon Martin murder. He looked online to find examples of blacks killing whites. And when he looked up black on white crime, the first thing that came up was this racist terrorist organization, the so-called White Citizens Council, that helped him learn all the lies and evil that caused him to hate so much to murder all those innocent people last week. Of course, it didn't require his hate alone. There's only so much a hateful person can do with a knife. Instead, he went around the background checks legally because there's a gun show loophole. He walked right through that loophole, despite the fact that he was on pending felony charges. Bought a semi-automatic machine gun, which kills almost as fast as a regular machine gun, except you have to squeeze the bullet as fast as your finger can. You can kill as fast as you can twitch your finger. The question is, in my mind, why is it still so easy for bad people to get a gun? The racist element of the crime has been addressed, and been addressed thoughtfully. I am proud. Never thought I'd say this. I am proud of South Carolina. I am proud of its governor, Republican governor, its Republican senators, for calling for the Confederate flag to be removed from the State House yesterday. And I believe that their legislature will do this. They say it needs a two-thirds vote. I think the country will make sure that they do that two-thirds vote. And if they don't, they can change the law with a majority vote to make it no longer a two-thirds vote. That may be necessary. But racism is not going to go away in America anytime soon. Hatred, terrorism, not going to go away anytime soon. The real question is, how do we prevent bad people from getting these murderous weapons? Hillary Clinton talked about that I think yesterday at the conference, United States Conference of Mayors.
But that's what we have to do. For me and many others, one immediate response was to ask how it could be possible that we as a nation still allow guns to fall into the hands of people whose hearts are filled with hate. You can't watch massacre after massacre and not come to the conclusion that, as President Obama said, we must tackle this challenge with urgency and conviction. Now, I lived in Arkansas and I represented upstate New York. I know that gun ownership is part of the fabric of a lot of law-abiding communities, but I also know that we can have common sense gun reforms that keep weapons out of the hands of criminals and the violently unstable while respecting responsible gun owners.
The U.S. Conference of Mayors gave her a standing ovation. That's why you hear the sustained applause.
What I hope with all of my heart is that we work together to make this debate less polarized, less inflamed by ideology, more informed by evidence, so we can sit down across the table, across the aisle from one another, and find ways to keep our community safe while protecting constitutional rights. It makes no sense that bipartisan legislation to require universal background checks would fail in Congress despite overwhelming public support. It makes no sense that we couldn't come together to keep guns out of the hands of domestic abusers or people suffering from mental illnesses, even people on the terrorist watch list. That doesn't make sense, and it is a rebuke to this nation we love and care about. The president is right. The politics on this issue have been poisoned. But we can't give up. The stakes are too high. The costs are too dear, and I am not and will not be afraid to keep fighting for common sense reforms and, along with you, achieve those on behalf of all who have been lost because of this senseless gun violence in our country.
So those are very strong words by the woman who is likely to be the Democratic nominee for president. It's interesting, the difference between someone who's entering office and someone who's leaving. President Obama sounded angry, but also sad and almost resigned to the fact that we couldn't do anything about senseless gun violence. But Hillary Clinton, who wants to be the next president, sounds charged and energetic. The thing that she mentions, though, is vital. It's important that we talk to each other. It's important that we talk to people who disagree with us. In fact, to that end, you may be shocked to know that this very weekend on Sunday, I'm going to be debating a woman by the name of Katie Pavlich, who is a regular Fox News host. She substitutes for Bill O'Reilly a lot on Fox News. And we're going to be talking about guns. Now, we were going to be talking about guns even before Charleston. Now, I'm doing this not at some liberal or even some neutral place. I'm doing this at the Western Conservative Conference, the largest gathering of conservatives anywhere in America after CPAC, which is the largest. So I guess the second largest in the country. I will have thousands of people in there who love their guns and don't want to see any regulation on them whatsoever. Lots of people who believe that liberals are out to take their guns. And if I don't get shot in that room, I plan to make some very cogent points to work across the aisle exactly as Hillary Clinton suggested we do. I'm going to ask them in that room, how many in that room think that known terrorists should be able to easily buy a gun? How many in that room think that people who've been convicted multiple times of crimes of domestic violence should be able to easily buy a gun? How many in that room think that people who've been declared violently unstable by a court of law, dangerously violently insane, how many of them think that person should be able to buy a semi-automatic weapon? I'm going to ask the room the question. We'll see how many hands are raised. Because despite the fact that I'm a liberal, despite the fact that I want some kind of common sense gun regulation, despite the fact that I'm walking into a room where everyone disagrees with me, I'd be curious to see how many raise their hands in the face of that cold logic. 90% of Americans support background checks, which already occur for licensed gun dealers. They just don't occur for sales outside of licensed gun dealers, which by some accounts are 40% of gun sales. And here's the statistic that might surprise you the most. What percentage of National Rifle Association members support background checks? 74%. Three quarters of NRA members think that someone who is a terrorist or violently insane or a convicted murderer or someone who has a string of domestic violence convictions shouldn't be able to easily buy a gun. That's what NRA members think. Three quarters of them. So as much as the gun lovers will scare people, the liberals are going to take away your guns. Common sense gun reform, I think, is something that even the most hardened of conservatives can accept. At any rate, I'm going to ask them. I'll play that debate for you next week. We'll see how many conservatives raise their hands. And my question is for you folks. Particularly, and if you are a conservative, you'll get first pick if you call in. Well, if not, we'll put our liberals on the air. But if you're a conservative, I want to know, if you're a gun owner, conservatives and gun owners will get first pick, and NRA members. If you're a conservative, you're a gun owner, if you're an NRA member, please explain to me why you think it is vital for a violently insane terrorist who has convictions for violent crimes and gun crimes, why you think it's essential to that person buy a gun. I have never heard anyone even make the argument, and I dare you to try. This is Mark Levine. Give me a call. 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I asked before the break if anyone could call in and defend the rock red conservative principle that insane terrorist killers should have easy access to guns. And lo and behold, no one could. Did get a call from John in Santa Fe. His line dropped. I hope, John, if you want to talk about it, you'll call back in. I'd like to hear your take. But I have to tell you, it's really hard for anyone to defend this. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay that no one can defend this. I don't expect anyone could defend this. It is indefensible. We simply should not support the right of people who have proven themselves to be dangerous to get a gun. Oh, John's back. All right, John from Santa Fe, line 5. Welcome to the show.
Okay, I didn't hear what you're saying because I was on hold.
Fair enough. So what I said was, can you defend the current law which allows someone declared insane by a court, murderous terrorist, someone on the terrorist watch list, someone who has convictions for violent crimes, currently can get a gun without a background check just by going to his neighborhood gun show? Do you support that? Because 74% of even NRA members don't support that, and 90% of Americans don't support it, but it is current law.
Okay. The 74% of NRA members, where are you getting that from?
From a poll. I'll get you the statistics of the poll in the break. It was a poll in the Washington
Post. I don't know. That sounds like a poll that's come, or a statistic that's coming from, like, you know, the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence.
No, I think it came from the Washington Post, but I'll get you the statistic. Anyway, you don't have to agree with them, even if it is 74%. Tell me why you think it should be easy for an insane terrorist to get a gun.
Okay, who's defining who's a terrorist?
The United States, someone on the terrorist watch list, let's say, who has convictions for terrorism and murder and has served his time, or maybe is on the lam from the law, or maybe someone, let's say, who has a pending felony, who's out on bail.
Those people are already prohibited.
No, they're not. They walk into a gun show, no questions asked. They get whatever they want.
Okay, they're already prohibited by law. A felon cannot legally possess a firearm.
They can if you sell it to them, and the person who sells it to them has zero consequence. And my question for you,
right now we have background checks on licensed gun dealers. We do.
Right.
And we do not have background checks requirements.
You, John, tomorrow could sell all of your guns to someone that you know to be on the terrorist watch list who has committed a string of felonies and says, I'm going to go out and kill the president. You can sell that person a gun and have zero consequences as long as you're not licensed gun dealer.
There are consequences because if I sell that my guns to a person who is disqualified, I've committed a whole bunch of felonies myself.
Nope, not at all. Not only have you not committed a felony, you haven't even committed an infraction. Failing to stop at a stop sign is more severely punished than selling a gun to someone who has a court order declaring them violently insane. Because if you're not a licensed gun dealer, that's the gun show loophole. That's what you can do right now in most states in the United States.
If you knowingly transfer a gun, your personal property, a gun to a person who is legally disqualified, you have committed a felony.
But they are not legally disqualified. No, you don't understand. Okay. The way the background checks work is it's incumbent upon you only if you're a licensed gun dealer to run a background check. If you go to a gun show and a guy, let me tell you something. At a Virginia gun show recently, we had some elected representatives walk in and say, I want to know where I can buy a gun without a background check. And everyone pointed to the guy at the table. And they said, I want to know where I can buy a gun, no questions asked, because I can't legally buy a gun if they ask questions. And they said, go get it from this guy over here. And they bought a gun from that guy over there. Because everybody knows that if you want a gun, no questions asked in America, it's easy to do and there's no punishment for it. Because let me ask you this, John. Are you okay then if we change the law to say that anyone who sells a gun without undergoing a background check is violating the law and should be punished? Are you okay with that?
I'm not going to go either way on this one. Would you like me to explain my position?
Sure. I mean, but you're challenging my facts, and yet you're not saying that you support background checks for every gun sale.
Okay. If you have a gun and you transfer it to a person who is disqualified, you've committed something called a straw purchase, which is a felony punishable by about 5 to 10 years in a federal prison.
No, because you're under no requirement to do a background check, so there's no punishment for you.
I know, but if a person says, I'm a felon, can you sell me a gun? And you do that, you have committed a felony.
No, the way you do it is you say, I'm a felon, can you sell me a gun? And that person says, that guy will. And then that guy does. And that's the way it happens in America. I'll tell you what, we got to take a break, John, but I do want to get back to you. I want to know, in general, in principle, are you okay with background checks for people who've committed felonies and terrorists? Let's just deal with that question. And then you can tell me why you're for or against it and what you think current law is. We'll be right back. You can call it if you want. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Been doing some research here. According to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, it is illegal for a felon to own a weapon. It is, however, not illegal for you to sell a weapon to a felon, to a terrorist, or to anyone who's been declared by a court to be violently insane. Just don't ask any questions, and you're not required to. Now, if you're a licensed gun dealer, you are required to run a background check to ask questions. If you're not, just go to a gun show and no questions asked. And anyone who wants to commit a terrorist act just can buy whatever they want. Osama bin Laden, if he were alive today, could walk into Texas, go to a gun show, and get a whole arsenal, and then just go out and kill people. Ask no questions, get no answers. John from Santa Fe is on the line. He asked me specifically about the poll that I cited saying that 74% of NRA members support background checks, even at these gun shows. And I actually found for you, John, three polls. One is published in New England Journal of Medicine, done by Johns Hopkins University. And that was a poll that showed 73.7% of NRA members supported background checks on gun sales. All gun sales. The margin of error was plus or minus 7 points. A CBS News New York Times poll in January 2013 found that background checks on all potential gun buyers were favored by 85% of NRA households, and a Pew Research Center poll in February 2013 found that 74%, which is the number I gave you, of people in NRA households favored making private gun sales and all sales at gun shows subject to background checks. So, and there's also, by the way, PolitiFact, which is a nonpartisan fact-checking site, also rated as true the claim, quote, most NRA members back background checks on all gun purchases, unquote. So it's okay that you're in the minority, but I assure you that even the vast majority of NRA members, whether it's 74% or 85%, support background checks even at gun shows.
Yeah, I remember in the 90s there was a study that it was done by, the two last names were Keller and Reay, R-E-A-Y, and these two researchers, there might have been professors, you can look this up, said that a gun in the home was 43 times more likely to cause injury to the person in the house as opposed to a criminal.
I remember that poll.
And now the poll says, now this I hear this blurb that I hear when people are talking about gun safety, it's now 22 times more likely, and there's no source cited for that. So I don't really hold a whole lot of weight to any of these blurbs that are, you know, it's like more.
What about the ones I cited to you? I mean, I cited to you New England Journal of Medicine, CBS News, New York Times poll.
I have to hear the questions.
I'll read you the question, but I mean, these are four nonpartisan, reputable sources all saying the vast majority of NRA members support full background checks. And why shouldn't they? Every licensed gun dealer has to do one anyway. Why shouldn't the unlicensed ones have to do them so we don't have crazy people who've been declared mentally ill or people on the terrorist watch list or felons or people with pending felonies like the killer in Charleston easily get guns? What's the problem with that?
Would a father be transferring a gun to a family member or a mother transferring a gun to a family member be included in those background checks?
Well, you know what? I think they should know if their child has committed a felony. So I don't mind them running a background check, because if they don't know, then you know what? I think that mother and father might be in for a shock that they should know, and they shouldn't give their guns. You know, the Newtown killer got his gun from his mother. Right? So apparently he stole it from her and shot her dead. But I don't know whether she had it locked or whether he had access to the gun safe or not. But I think many parents should be aware of their children's mental illness. She apparently wasn't aware enough.
Okay, well, if you believe the official story, sure, he stole it. So he already committed a crime of stealing a gun, and then there's state and federal laws that go along with that. Let me get to my point, and I'll make this real quick because you've monopolized the time, which is because it's your show.
Go ahead.
The problem I have with background checks, and there was a law passed a number of years ago that said all background check information has to be destroyed within 24 hours. The problem with background checks is that gun controllers, which Hillary Clinton is and Barack Obama is, they're not pro-gun. They're taking a political stance because it's more fashionable for them. They're saying they support the Second Amendment. But they are pro-gun. They're pro-gun control, anti-gun. The problem with background checks is once background checks, let's say we get universal background checks, okay, it sounds great on paper. I have no problem with every single person being background checked. What the gun controllers will then do is, in order for these background checks to be effective, we have to have universal registration. That's the big problem. And then once they get universal registration, they can do like the state of California and the state of New York and saying these guns are no longer legal within our state. You must prove to the state that they have left the state or otherwise been disposed of, because background checks lead to registration, and registration will lead to confiscation.
Okay.
That
so
is my problem.
You're making what is known as a slippery slope argument, right? If we legalize alcohol, then people will be using crack, and then people will be using arsenic, and then everyone will be dead in 5 years. That's a slippery slope argument. Even though people don't really have a problem with legalization of alcohol in prohibition, it will lead it's the gateway drug, and soon everyone will be dead. I have not called for confiscation of guns, and frankly, I don't know many, even liberals, who have, although I should tell you that in Australia it worked very well, and it actually stopped their massacres, which they haven't had in decades. But I haven't heard Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders, you name someone on the far left, I haven't heard anyone calling for confiscation of guns. You've just said in your discussion, you don't really have a problem with universal background checks. You're concerned about what might happen down the road. And let me ask you something. We register every single motor vehicle in this country, every car, every boat, every motorcycle.
You're making my point.
But I don't recall anyone confiscating any of our cars. And you know what? I don't recall too many people arguing that they've lost freedom, even though through our license plates, the government can monitor wherever we go. It seems to me that car registration is a much greater attack on our freedom than it is a gun background check or even gun registration. But why can't we argue registration when that issue comes up? Why do you think that if we get – what you're saying is I'm fine with what you want, Mark, background checks, but I fear what you might want down the road. And we can have that argument down the road, but I don't understand why you won't accept where we are now. I mean, it's like a conservative might say, you know, I want to lower taxes. And I say, no, we can't lower taxes. I'm a liberal. If you lower taxes, we're soon going to get rid of all taxes. And without any taxes, we won't be able to pay for anything. We won't have a military. The Russians will invade and we're all going to die. And you say, Mark, that's ridiculous. I just want to lower the tax rate 2%. And I said, nope, if you lower it 2%, eventually you're going to get rid of the IRS, you get rid of taxes. And you say, I didn't argue for that. And I say, but I know where you're going. So I'm not going to even give you 2%. That would be a ridiculous argument from the liberal side. You sound like you're okay with background checks. Why can't you accept those and then fight registration when it comes? And I will tell you this, I will not support confiscation of any law-abiding gun owner.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you will not support confiscation.
I don't know who does. Tell me who does.
Hold on. One of the most vocal supporters of confiscation or eradication is coming from the political right and left at the same time. It is Republican former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who is in favor of confiscation or eradication of guns from New York City, to the point where any long gun that contains more than 5 rounds and any handgun that contains more than 7 rounds, the owner of that gun.
Oh, a confiscation of some guns? Oh, banning some guns? I'm okay with that. Let me ask you that, John. Are you okay with the fact that machine guns have been banned since the 1930s? Because they had to confiscate those guns from Machine Gun Kelly and John Dillinger and all the people that used to murder lots of people in the Prohibition era. Those were confiscated. I'm okay with confiscating really dangerous weapons like that. Are you?
You're making the exact argument that I'm talking about right here, because what's going to happen is everything. You called a semi-automatic pistol at the beginning of your segment a machine gun.
I called it a semi-automatic machine gun, and then I explained the difference.
Yes, you did.
Between holding your finger down and
someone, and a casual listener who's listening to your show will get that in their head and they'll go, a semi-automatic. They're going to go, semi-automatic. Mark Levine said that's a machine gun. We need to ban those.
You know what?
You made the exact point.
I think it's easier if your goal is to kill as many people as possible and you're in a Colorado movie theater. Let me suggest to you, and I think you'll agree with me, that it's a lot easier to kill more people with a semi-automatic, what I call a machine gun, than with a fully automatic machine gun. Because a fully automatic machine gun, you're going to rat-a-tat-tat all the bullets all at once, and you might kill 20, 30 people max. But if you really want to kill 70 people, you're going to have to go up to each individual and shoot them in the head, which is very easy to do with a semi-automatic and quite hard to do with a machine gun. So as a killing machine, I would argue that fully automatic machine guns are less dangerous than semi-automatic machine guns. How about that?
You're making my point, exactly, because with the next step, you're making a slippery slope argument. You're going from, first we need to ban full automatics, then we need to ban...
We already have banned full automatics. Would you disagree with that ban? We've banned them since 1933. You disagree with that?
They're not banned. Okay, hold on. The reason why that ban came into effect was because of prohibition, and
right,
the government decided they couldn't get these gangsters on all these alcohol. The alcohol prohibition led to gun prohibition, and they couldn't get all these gangsters for their alcohol violations. So what they did is they enacted the tax stamp law of 1934, saying that if they find these people, they can get them on tax evasion because they
right.
have to have a $200 tax stamp per item.
That's right. That's how they got Dillinger, I believe, was tax evasion. That's correct.
They got him protected.
But they also didn't like the fact that Machine Gun Kelly would go into a public place in Chicago and use machine guns to murder dozens of people. So that was also a reason why they stopped it.
And that's exactly what you're saying, is because that happened in the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, we now need to ban semi-automatics.
What are you in favor of? What is, John, what is the non-military purpose of semi-automatic machine guns?
It's not a machine gun. You're confusing your terminology. It's a semi-automatic pistol.
Okay, semi-automatic assault rifle. Fine. It's been defined in the law as an assault rifle. We can agree on the term. Tell me what the non-military, non-police purpose is of a semi-automatic assault rifle. Its goal is to kill people, is it not? It's not for deer. You don't want, it's not, right? It's not for clay shooting, skeet shooting. It's not for, what's it for other than to kill people?
What is it for other than to kill people? What is the purpose of any other gun other than to kill people? I have a semi-automatic rifle, and I use it for target shooting. You can also use it for varmint control. You can also
For varmint control.
Yes.
So which varmints are you shooting?
Coyotes.
Coyotes. Okay. And you can't use a rifle or a handgun?
You can't use a handgun. You don't want to use a handgun to shoot a varmint at 100 yards. Because if you hit them, there's a high chance you're not going to kill them. And it's just, you don't want to use a handgun on most game past 20 feet. You know, maybe for snake control, a handgun might be.
Wait, you're not going to kill them, so you're afraid the coyote will attack you? Is that what you're afraid of? Or it's going to run away, injured?
No, if you're shooting a coyote, if you're shooting an animal at range, you want to make sure you kill them with the first shot. You don't want to maim them and have them run off on you. And people use semi-automatics. They use AR-15 style rifles, and they use numerous other different types of. There's 308 semi-automatic rifles. There's 30-06 semi-automatic rifles, and a lot of these rifles are used for hunting. They're using it for pets.
Are you saying there's no difference between a hunting rifle and a Glock or a AK-47 modified to be semi-automatic, or any of these weapons that are designed by the military for the military and are currently used mostly by killers to kill people in America?
They're not used mostly by killers to kill people in America.
What are they used for? What do you need a Glock for if you're not a cop and you're going to use your Glock to kill your coyote?
Okay, a Glock is a handgun. It's probably one of the most popular handguns in America. You're confusing Glock handgun with an AK-47, which is a semi-automatic.
Fine, AK-47.
Rifle.
Tell me what you need an AK-47 for, other than
AK-47.
Police.
Okay, what does any person in America need a Jeep for? A Jeep is a military pattern vehicle, and that at one point in time was military hardware. That thing proved to be so reliable and so robust, it made a big hit in the civilian market. And the same
okay,
with
so people drive to work in their Jeeps. What are they doing with their AK-47s? They're semi-automatic AK-47s, those that aren't in the security business. They're not police, they're not security guards, they're not in the military.
I was answering you. You cut me off in the middle of the sentence. The AK-47 is extremely reliable. I mean, it is. If you look up, AR-15 versus AK-47, you want to get into like the gun sort of shop talk right here. The AK-47, in much in the same way that a Hummer or a Land Rover are extremely reliable vehicles in the field, an AK-47 is an extremely reliable rifle in the field, and it will shoot basically a 1 to 2 inch group at 100 yards, which translates into a 2 to 4 inch group at about 200 yards. And if you're looking to shoot a deer, or target shoot, or use it for any other defensive purpose, in addition to hunting, is an extremely reliable choice in the same way that a Jeep or a Land Rover is an extremely reliable choice. And at one point in time, those were military items as well.
Why does it have to be semi-automatic?
You can put a 5-round magazine into an AK-47.
Okay, but you don't want to limit magazines to 5 rounds, do you? You want 100-round drums to be legal, right?
I personally would not use a 100-round drum, and you can swap out magazines in a period of seconds.
So are you okay with limiting high capacity magazines to say 12? You all right with that?
No.
Or 10?
No. Because it's a slippery slope. Because
it's a slippery slope. So you see what you're saying? In your view, it's okay if several dozen people or hundreds of people die because you're afraid that one day a regulation might come that you don't like. You're okay that 9 people are dead in a church in Charleston because someone got a gun through a background check that you want that background check, but you're afraid that that law will lead people down the road, maybe in the future, to pass a law you don't like, and rather than fight that law you don't like, you're okay that a bunch of people are dead. That's your view.
You're okay that No, it's not my view. You're okay that a bunch of people are dead because most likely you're in favor of alcohol being legal in America, and that thing, that drug kills way more people per year than guns, and that was in the same way that the assault weapons ban lapsed in 2004, the alcohol ban was repealed in 1933. And how many millions of people have died? How many people that are liberal listeners who drink wine and
beer? You know what? 400,000 people die from cigarettes as well, but I'll tell you something. Most, I'll tell you something, alcohol and tobacco, when you ban them, cause more crime, more danger, more horror than when you legalize them. I think the same is true of marijuana, by the way. That's not true of guns. In fact, in country after country where they've gone much farther than you or I would go, they have practically ended gun murders. Look at England. Look at Australia. Right? They had something like 8 gun crimes a year in England. And when you ban alcohol, you cause more deaths. When you ban guns, you cause less deaths. And that's a big difference.
Why do you cause more deaths when alcohol is banned?
Because people use guns to in an illegal market to in gangs to sell things, just like they do in our drug war. And a lot of people want their alcohol.
When they banned alcohol, it created an overnight crime wave.
That's right.
Which led to the first gun control in America, which is absolutely unnecessary.
Well, it led to massive gun crimes and murders and gangsters, first real gangsters, and then that led to some minor gun regulation.
Minor gun regulation is basically wearing a $200 tax stamp in 1934 per weapon. That's not minor.
It is when it comes to an automatic machine gun. I'll tell you what, John, I got to take another break, but I'll give you more chance after the break. Folks, if you want to join in, it's 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Schooling the GOP, one hand tied behind his back, the Constitution in the other. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine talking about whether we can have any kind of reasonable gun regulation in the wake of the Charleston massacre. You just heard John from Santa Fe make a very strong argument that if we have universal background checks, which he's really not opposed to, that will lead down the slippery slope to complete gun confiscation. And rather than walk down that first step by preventing murderers and felons and insane people from owning guns, he's okay with a bunch of people dying. All right, that's how I put it. I'm not sure why the slippery slope argument works for him. Let me get to some others. Michael from Tennessee, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
You know, it's kind of, you know, ridiculous. You know, it's very hard to listen to, you know, these gun rights owners, you know. Even when you get the facts to them, you know, they, you know, it's almost like they're just numb. They just don't want to hear the facts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But how ironic it is, though, that they don't want universal background checks, but they want to put all kind of obstacles in citizens' way to vote.
That's true. You know, it's a good point. Yeah, they don't want any obstacle in your shooting with very, very dangerous weaponry because you want the best shot to kill a coyote, and if a bunch of people have to die, it's okay. But you're right. They're going to put all kinds of obstacles to people voting. Good point, Michael. I appreciate it. Let me go quickly to David from Massachusetts. Line 3, we only got about 30 seconds to make your point. Go ahead, David.
I think you guys are both wrong. Number one, and you may not agree with this, you may not understand it, and it may sound silly, but the fact of the matter is that the gun rights were put into our Constitution for a very simple fact to arm the people itself from a tyrannical government, whether or not it's right or it's left. There are people that will take over, and the American people need to be able to protect themselves. An AR-15 has no shot against a tank or a nuclear weapon.
That's right.
If the people have their arms, it's a lot less likely that a government...
I got to tell you, David, and we're running out of time. I don't think that anyone, no matter whether armed with an AK-47 or not, can stop a tank or a nuclear weapon. The Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. That's the only thing it protects. I believe in taking the Constitution literally, and I wish conservatives respect the Constitution as much as I do. This is Mark Levine. Talk to you tomorrow.